Hello and welcome to episode 334 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, hailing from the land of the corn, it's Perry Burkham.
Bippity boppity, give me the zoppity.
Oopity doopity.
Oopity, oopity doopity.
Yep, and speaking of oopity doopities, it's the biggest, the boy with the most bouncy booty in Boston. It's Alex Kulafi.
Okay, cracked the code. I've cracked the code of whatever I say, Casey's going to say. And speaking of that, so now I have full control of this show.
Yep,
okay,
there it is.
I got it now.
I have what the Zoomers describe as a wagon.
Mm. You're all, yeah, the old caboose, if you will.
I like no, that wagon, you what, dragon.
What I was actually going to say, until I got sidetracked as usual, is that today it was announced that there's a King of the Hill revival coming, ordered by Hulu, Mike Judge, Greg Daniels, and like I'm pretty sure all of the living original cast are coming back, and this is legit. Like press release and everything.
The press release didn't mention Toby Huss, who is Khan, and I'm wondering if they're going to have a hissy fit over him not being Asian, the actor. And oh my goodness, that would be so stupid.
Well, he's Laotian.
Yeah.
They're going to be close. Like this seems like a really happens, earnest revival.
I hope so. I hope so. I absolutely hope so. I'm excited for it.
I can't wait for Perry to pick every... Perry and Josh are going to be like, well, it was a pretty good episode, except the dresser.
No, dude, that's Josh. Josh is crazy. Dude, Josh is like, he'll like tell me that like this episode isn't even real because it's something like the later seasons gets a little wacky and erect.
It's because they don't show the barbecue hot dogs I like to make.
Oh, he loves those barbecue hot dogs. Yes, no, that's crazy though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They've been a long time to do this for years. Yeah,
yeah. I learned about it first on our Discord.
Oh, yeah. I don't look at the bottom half of our channels.
Yeah,
that's where it all pops off.
Yep. Yep, it's good stuff.
Always people. Shooting the breeze in the sports section, I tell you what.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I muted that channel a long time ago.
That's why I spend 95% of my time.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. But
anywho's,
we got some video games to talk about. I believe. I reckon. Mm-hmm. Alex is on the show, so you know we got at least a couple.
Yeah.
It's so funny when Alex isn't here. We have to do the game shows.
How do we fill the air?
Mystery history. Yep. Yeah.
Perfect. But yeah, I've been playing a pair of games, and I believe Perry's been chipping away at one game in particular.
Mm-hmm. And I played it too since yesterday, so we can all talk about it.
Is that where we want to kick it off then?
Why not?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about Fire Emblem Engage.
Estranged.
Mariage.
All right, so let's start with Casey. Where are you at, buddy?
Yeah, just well, the whole thing. I was on the fence, right? I was like, I'm not going to get this game. Then, I heard it was sort of more akin to some of the older ones. And honestly, the main thing, so I finished Demon's Souls, as I believe I said that last week, right?
Yeah. Yep. You bragged about it all day last night.
Humble bragging about beating a game that's not that hard. Yep.
It isn't?
But, what's that?
It's not hard?
It's easier than Dark Souls 1.
Yeah, it still has its hard spots. But, like, going into bosses in Elden Ring, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Those really aren't too that hard at all. But, yeah, I've been playing some Elden Ring.
Look at this guy.
But I wanted to, like, that's like a game you sort of get in there and you got to pay not necessarily pay attention, but if you get into combat, like, I was looking for, like, a game I could quote-unquote relax, sort of pair it with it, right? And then I was looking at the Nintendo releases upcoming this year in terms of, like, what I'm going to buy. And most of the ones, like, obviously, like, Tears of the Kingdom, right? Like, I'm going to get that physical for sure, you know?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Zelda game? Zelda game, you gotta get physical copies.
I'm making a joke.
Shut up, Jerry. You're derailing my story.
Sorry.
So, like, really, it boiled down to, I was like, what? Because I had the, like, $40 eShop gift credit. So I was like, pretty much, what games am I interested in that I don't want to buy physical, you know? And it was pretty much Fire Emblem and then Octopath Traveler 2. And Octopath, the first one, ugh, I hated it so much.
Stinks
really.
Stinks on ice, right?
Yeah, but like, I'd be hopeful, but it comes out right around VR time. So I was like, you know what? Jerry's loving some Fire Emblem Engage. Let's give it the old whirly whirl. So yeah, I picked it up and I've been enjoying it a bunch so far. I think I just finished chapter 7 and I've been doing the paralogues as well.
And what are you playing on?
I'm doing
Xbox.
Normal classic.
Normal permadeath, right?
Yep. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I know sometimes I've been playing the old cash, but you know what it is? It's because my mindset playing games for the last however long has been like, I got to beat this game so I could get on to the next one, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to break out of that mold. Yeah. Especially with the show and then just being so many games that you're like, I want to play them all, you know? So I've been trying to, if I was playing this Fire Emblem to just beat it ASAP, like, there's no way in hell I'd be doing those paralogues, you know what I mean? But I'm like, you know what? I'm playing this game because I just want to play it and beat it. And, you know, if I have to redo a mission.
You just
want to
enjoy life.
Yeah. Or roll back, you know, a couple steps or whatever it is, you know, with that item. I think it'd be worth it instead of just being like, oh, I can brainlessly just slop through this map if you know what I mean, if I want to.
Well, and it's funny because just on that note, I remember when the last 3DS one came out, Valentia.
So good.
I remember you played it, and I remember, you know, I was like, man, I don't know if I have time for like a big long RPG like right now. And then you mentioned the normal mode, you know, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea, you know. I was like, okay, like, because then I can get through it quicker. I didn't even think about it as a time thing.
Yeah.
I was like, but then I started it, and I played like seriously like 6 hours. I played a ton of it, and then I was just like, oh, I can't. I'm like, I ruined it. I was like, okay, I'm starting over, and then I played it for 40 hours.
It's definitely when it takes away the consequence, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you could brute force it super easy. Like,
and
that's
there are
not the game.
There are training sections. Did you know that?
Yep, I think I saw that. Right? Yeah.
And I actually have played those, and those are great. Anyway, I'll get into my stuff, but yeah, there are training spots in the main. And like, even if you're playing on classic, you can still lose your units and they won't die.
So I've been playing it that way, which is first time in a couple Fire Emblem games. So
yeah.
I've been enjoying it. Yeah, it's definitely super vibrant, very colorful. I really enjoy, sort of like after you beat a mission, you get to roam the area a little bit, right? Like, that's pretty cool. I'm liking the minimal downtime in between, like, actual missions, right? Like, you could sort of go explore your camp and talk to people and do little things, but it seems like you could pretty much skip those with minimal consequence. I guess the biggest thing is when you bond up one of your emblem rings and like you need to talk to them in your camp so you could like further them more. I guess that's really like the only mandatory thing.
It's
I would
weird.
Say
there's lots of different ways to do it.
You can do that through the arena too, which is how I grind up
and
the
rings.
I just throw them in the arena and then get them to level 10.
Yep, that's what you should do.
Okay,
so exactly, and you want them to learn learn the traits from the rings on every single one of your characters.
Have you been bouncing your rings just at different characters?
No, that's the thing.
You keep it on the
one. I usually keep it on the
one. Okay.
Yeah, because you can bond them in the Somnial, like in the arena instantly, basically, by having them battle, and you can choose like, and using your crystal things, whatever. So yeah, it took me a while to figure that out. Like I you know, there's such a weird system, and I still, and then you can also like bond them by having the characters polish the rings, which is really funny. have you done that yet?
No,
yeah,
yet.
A little bit.
Yes, you can go in and have them polish the rings. You know, and they're like, oh, thank you. You know, it's great.
The funniest like weird writing thing in this game is when you go up to your room in the Somnial and then go to sleep, a different character from your like sort of army just watches you sleep.
And then you watch a little cutscene.
So it's like, it'll be like, oh, I didn't notice you were here. I'm just going to wait for you to wake up. And he's just talking all gently. And then you open your eyes and the character is just looking at you like with like the loving eyes for some reason. But like it's the tea mini game in Fire Emblem Three Houses. And it's just a really dumb, silly little thing.
Yes. And the push-ups. You can go do push-ups.
I hate the mini game is the problem.
It's terrible. No, it's not even. I would do it. I don't hate it. I don't like it, but it's not permanent. They're just temporary buffs. I'm not gonna do this for every match.
Yeah, for every mission. Even if it was like before, like the next three missions, like maybe it'd be a little better. You know?
No. Yeah, they should just make it limited like the other ones. But even though, like again, here's the thing. I don't find that very much fun, right? I don't find the sections inside Somnial really that fun. However, they are very well designed for this busy work that you can do as a calm down section before playing the next map. I think it's really smart in that sense. I mean, where it's like the Wabi Sabi thing. Mm-hmm. And I like it for that sense. That's the thing. So anyway. Yeah.
The way I've been doing the Somnial, because so I stopped playing around right after chapter 5. It just hadn't clicked with me. I was playing some other stuff, and then maybe yesterday I actually played for a couple hours and got through chapter 8 and actually enjoyed it quite a bit more than I did. But what I learned over the course of playing is that I learned how to optimize my experience. So it's like, okay, at the Somnial, I like the weird dog thing that you give food to.
Yes, and you want to get dogs.
I like the pets. I like the arena, and I like some of the ring stuff. And I realized that I actually don't want to talk to every NPC or even most of them if I don't have to. And I'm going to skip every single support conversation because none of them are that good in my opinion.
I skip the story.
So I've optimized it to that. I'm basically just watching the main story bits now.
Are you doing paralogues?
I did one of the two that I've unlocked up until this point. I haven't done the other one yet. But okay, here's my new take on Fire Emblem Engage is that to me, this is the Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope of Fire Emblem games, in which the gameplay is awesome. They made a lot of good changes between the emblem rings and the breaking, and now I'm getting smashing and all of this stuff that really makes you think about Fire Emblem gameplay way more than you did in Three Houses. And I love every game thing they did, especially now since I like understand more about how the emblem rings work in battle, even though I'm still sort of learning. But the story is like just good enough to get you to the new chat, to the next chapter.
I think it's awful.
Like,
it's cringy and I couldn't care less about it.
I think it's like whatever. I think it's typical. I would compare it to
it's terribly acted. It's nothing like like what I'm comparing it to is like Xenoblade. You know, like Xenoblade is amazing. Like in comparison, the story to me, my opinion, yeah. Like I really liked it a lot. Like the acting, the script, the story is a lot just better. This one is just like, man, like I just couldn't care. It's so cheesy, like so cheesy. And it's just whatever.
I think it's definitely like heavy on the anime tropes. I think I'm like okay with it, but it, yeah. To me, I would compare it a lot to Sparks of Hope, where it's like, I'm like 8 out of 10 enjoying it right now. And I don't think it's going to get much higher than 8 out of 10 enjoying it, but I think I'm having like a pretty good time. Yeah. Great gameplay. Story that's not on par, but the overall package is like,
I agree.
This is good.
How do you guys like the characters, the cast characters we're working with?
I like the old guy. from the beginning.
Vander?
He's, yeah, Vander's great.
But he's I feel like that's the class, like, you never, he's just the XP sponge. You know what I mean? Like, he kills a guy and he gets, like, no experience because he's already, like, advanced.
Oh, you're talking mechanically. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the best guy in the game, or my guy who is just turned into a destructive tank, is, I think his name's Lewis. He's Heavy Knight.
Oh, yeah.
So you take the Heavy Knight. And you give him, I forget if it, what's, who's the horseback one? He's like the third one you get or the second one you get?
He is, I know it because I was just playing.
Is it Leaf?
No, something with an A, isn't it?
It's, I thought it was like an S. But anyways, he's like the second or third, Sigurd, whatever his name is.
Oh, yes. Third emblem, gotcha.
Yep. So you put him on Lewis. Lewis gets additional movement, so now he's moving like a non-heavy unit.
He's shaking
and he's a tank. And he's got, like, strong weaponry, and he just wrecks everyone, and all of the opposing enemies who try to attack him are just, like, knocking zero damage off him at all times.
Yeah. And, so except for magic, right?
Except for magic, yep. But, like, I'm...
You gotta watch out for
still,
the magic, guys.
You can't have a completely perfect character, but, yeah.
But he's basically there.
No, he is, and that's what... He can lead the charge, right, and take all the hits.
I haven't really been using him too much, to be honest.
Oh, dude,
he's great. Put the Sigurd ring on him, and he'll turn into your best guy.
And that's,
I guarantee.
That's what I was saying. Is like, dude, the engage mechanics are awesome. Like, I love this. I love it. But
like, fun,
not overpowered.
Overpowered
when it's in hard classic. Just so you know, it's so. Okay. This is the hardest.
Look at this guy.
This might be the hardest.
Mister talking down to Demon Souls over here. Yeah.
I'm not talking down to Demon Souls.
Listen to you, little classic easy boy.
Me talking down to Demon Souls?
Just
I thought that was a super hard game.
It's we're just joshing. We're just
your himmies.
No, but my takeaway this week is this is most definitely the hardest Fire Emblem game I've ever played.
What chapter are you on?
I think I'm on 13.
Okay.
On 12 or 13. I think I just played desert.
What's your vibe on where you're at? Do you feel like you're halfway? Like, story-wise?
I think I'll end this 24 chapters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
That sounds about right based on what's going on.
And what did you say you're at, Jerry? Like, halfway?
I know for sure I'm on 12, and I might have just finished it and got to 13.
Which is about the halfway mark if there's 24.
Yeah, so it is so hard. But the thing is learning... I'm also learning, like, oh my goodness, that's what, like you know, like
you learn their intentions,
Lewis,
you know,
and figuring out, yeah, like you're learning how the game works and stuff. And dude, I tell you, it took me, I went through like a total, like on Saturday, it was Saturday, I was like defeated. I was like, I don't know if I can beat this. Like, I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, this one's so hard.
You can always not get down.
This
right?
boss. I was like, but I can't. Like, I'm not gonna.
You can't knocking it from like hard to normal or normal to easiest. I know, like accessible. You don't want to be a gatekeeper. For me, it's the worst feeling in the world, especially if you're on like the final boss.
Exactly.
I don't judge anyone, but I also hate doing it myself.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't care less what other people do, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna be doing that. But I got through it. And I realized, okay, what was the big thing? Really, what happened was, oh, dude, it was the simplest thing. Because, you know, I'm skipping through stuff. I didn't realize, this is going to sound so stupid. I'm on chapter, like, 10. I didn't realize, though, that anyone could have a ring.
Oh, you thought just who it was assigned to is sort of it?
Yes. And I thought those people could have other rings, but it was just those. And I was like, oh. And then, so I hadn't even tried out a bunch of them. And I was like, oh my goodness. And that's when I learned. And then I had to go, you know, kind of train them and power them up. And then I learned how you can have all the different characters can inherit more skills. So I went back and finally brute forced it. Even with the crystal rewind thing, you know, I used up all of them once and I couldn't beat it. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then
on normal, it's unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
us peasants can use it to,
I'm not going
to
spoil it.
Any use.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but it gets super hard, like ridiculously hard, but then
it spikes in a couple chapters from where we're at.
Total spikes, but not for normal mode. I don't think normal. Is it hard at all?
Not really is the answer I'd give, but yeah. I will say, like, on some of the recent chapters, it's been like a couple of my units, I definitely had to move them out of harm's way, maybe do like one of the rewinds per chapter to prevent a death, I'd say. Sure. Casey?
Yeah, so far I haven't had too much issue. I'm on this, like, the last enemy of the second paralogue, and I always forget that the bosses have more than one health bar, so I just went in there willy-nilly, and I'm like, I was going to just finish up before we started recording, and then I was like, oh, crap, I got to actually shift around some guys so they don't get killed. But for the most part, yeah, I haven't really run into too many issues. I feel like these games sort of cautious, right? Especially, there's no real... I mean, obviously, there are, I should say, generally tends to be some chapters that add some sort of time restraint, like the thieves escaping with items, you know? But for the most part, with no real penalty for waiting around, I tend to take it a little more on the cost, like try and bait one enemy out and kill it at a time instead of, you know, like guns ablazes.
Mm. Yeah. And it's interesting, right? Because there's lots of, like, it's kind of weird to me that, like, the weapons are all permanent.
Yeah. So all the weapons are permanent, and I think there's only one evolution per class for the most part. So you're only doing the evolution thing once. Does that sound right?
The master seal thing?
Yeah.
No, you can second seal, it said.
Yeah, you can change them.
No. I mean, I think in three houses, like, there you could do, like, a Pokemon style, like, three-stage evolution, if I remember. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
I know it said you can, like, you'll master seal to an advanced class, and then you can use a second seal to get in a class of, like, the similar tier. So you could still, like,
okay,
I guess
maybe that's what it is. So you specialize.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so maybe it's a lateral. Past. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. Yeah, it'll be like lateral once you get to an advanced, but yeah.
Maybe that's how it always is. I mean, I play one of these once every 3 years, so I always forget kind of how they work. But yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah, was that like that in Three Houses? Was the permanent weapons... Was that in that one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the permanent weapons are new. Although it's weird that the healing spells are still limited for some reason.
Yeah. You still got to go buy your staves.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's a really apt comparison. Sparks of Hope. You know, I think the game. That's a. You know, I wouldn't have thought that. Yes. Because that Sparks of Hope. Same thing. I couldn't care less about the story. High production. I just didn't mesh with me. And I know that you're doing the story, and again, I've never been a story guy ever. So it's like, it's not like a big deal, and I don't think it's bad. I didn't mean to say that I thought it was bad, but it just doesn't.
I don't agree with the thing I said.
I didn't say, no, I just meant, I just think it's cringy, but like, I don't think it's bad.
Okay. You know?
It's
very anime, which is like already like a strike one for you, and two, it's corny anime, which is a strike two for so maybe strike two and three for you. So I get it.
Well, again, I don't play it for the story ever. I never have. Right. I play it for the tactics. You know, I don't know any game I've ever played for the story ever besides Xenoblade. Xenoblade might be the only one, honestly. I mean, as well as the gameplay, but yeah, Xenoblade story is fantastic. Anyway, yeah, it's fun. Anyway. I'm really, really liking it. It's a great game. It's fun. I love the loop. I like the gameplay loop. It's fun. It's hard.
Unless you're a dirty, casual, easy baby boy.
I couldn't care less if people do it. The only thing I just don't want them to say, I just feel like they get sabotaged and it's not as fun. That's all.
I think we'll be fiddling with Fire Emblem on this segment for a few weeks to come.
Sure. Fiddly fingers.
Yep. Next, I'm going to do a bunch of quick bites, but I'll use Hi-Fi Rush music for it because it's got really good music.
Your price is binding, my bond is yours, for through echoes of laughter I
So the first one I want to talk about is Hi-Fi Rush, which is a very strange release and also probably one of the best games of the year. Like, I'm guessing it's going to end up landing.
I haven't heard
that
before.
No, no, no. This is a weird one. Okay. So do you know the whole context of what this is and how it is and everything?
No.
Nope. I'm watching a trailer of some
sort. I mean, I've seen like what the game is. It's like a character action 3D.
Yep. So this is a new game from Tango Gameworks, who previously made The Evil Within and Ghostwire Tokyo. Like horror games from Shinji Mikami, who is like one of the godfathers of survival horror.
Well, it's funny, on this trailer, it says from the makers with Evil Within, and then, like, put in parentheses, like, seriously. Because, yeah, this definitely doesn't look like their prior work.
Yeah, and he, so, like, he directed Resident Evil. And he didn't direct this one, it was another guy. But it's his studio, which makes it extra weird that this is an extremely colorful character action game. You play as a guy named Chai, His name is Chai. So it's kind of like the like Dragon Ball, where everyone's named food or like vegetables. It's everyone in this game is like spices and stuff. It's just the weird style choice they made. Anyway, sure. He wants to be a rock star, so he goes to this like Google style mega tech company to try to be better at guitar. He's trying to get some sort of surgical robot implant. And then through a mishap, he ends up getting an iPod put into his chest from like an error in the process. And then he ends up going on this mission to sort of take down this evil company. But because he has the iPod in his chest, he the whole world is at a rhythm, like it's got a certain rhythm to it. And he has like this guitar that he fights enemies with. So as he's going throughout the game, it's like a character action game like Mad World, like No More Heroes, Devil May Cry, Bayonetta. Even compared to Bayonetta, like it's got like the same like chorus sort of structure. Like you do some action platforming and then you sort of do like these enemy arena type things. Okay. But the gimmick is that, like Crypt of the Necrodancer and like that game that I talked about a few months ago that was like announced on like a direct or an indie direct, whatever, the whole thing has like a rhythm that you do the character action to. And you still do damage if you're not on beat, but if you are on beat, you can do super moves, you can do stronger moves, and it's just this super satisfying game where it takes the structure of like an 8 to 12 hour Bayonetta or Devil May Cry game and lays on top of it these like rhythm mechanics with really good rock music. They have like they have a bunch of licensed songs, like Nine Inch Nails is like the first boss fight. It's just really freaking well done. It feels great. The rhythm gameplay is super satisfying. And if you have an Xbox, or I think it's on PC Game Pass too, and you like a Devil May Cry, a Bayonetta, those types of games, this thing's fantastic. Like I beat it in like 2 or 3 days. It's just
30
one of
hours.
Those games. it was like 11, I think I beat it in, which is nice because the thing that's the tough time I have with Fire Emblem is that it's going to take me 30 or 40 hours to get through probably. And I just, time has been limited lately. So a good 8 to 12 hour game that just gives you what it has and then lets you go after is really nice. So I think it's a strong recommendation if people like those sort of action games.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Looks fun. I hadn't heard of it till it came out. So
it was announced on the Xbox Direct thing that came out last week. It was like, here it is and it's out tonight, and it barely leaked, I'm pretty sure. Like it just sort of, they're just like, hey, you can play it tonight, which is cool. Games should do that. I it'd be cool if Advance Wars does that and like whatever rumor direct comes out in the next couple weeks.
What do you mean? It's not happening. And me and Casey win the bet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the predictions were. Anyways, The next one I'm talking about is SpongeBob SquarePants, the Cosmic Shake, or as the French call him, Bob L'Éponge. It's almost the
segue. Like, I just love, like, suddenly you're just playing a SpongeBob game. That's so funny.
So here's the very confusing story about why I have this. So when I got a Game Boy Advance as a kid, my first games were the SpongeBob SquarePants games that came out with it. I mean, because like a kid, I got the licensed games. So I have a soft spot in my heart for these kinds of games because they're close to my childhood. Anyways, there was this new one getting announced, which is a new like third person sort of platformer, like sort of, I think, Bikini, like whatever that Bikini Bottom remaster was. And Best Buy had a price error where it was half off from $40 to $20. And I had like a $5 my Best Buy, so I'm like, I'm just gonna make a really stupid decision and pre-order this game, which is probably going to be terrible. To say
you can just pre-order say you wanted to buy the SpongeBob game, okay? This is a safe place.
It's, but I felt embarrassed even in my own private space when I was buying
it. It looks pretty good, though.
It is pretty good. That's what's surprising is like, all right, let's see what's going on here. And it's
like
actually
a pretty
cool, like,
3D platformer.
It's a really good like throwback 2003 licensed movie game platformer thing.
You could also pre-order the Cosmic Shake BFF edition for $250.
I should. Dude, it was a price error for yeah. 230.
You're like, you I had to.
Inflatable Patrick.
We're gonna leave that right there.
A BFF amulet with necklace. Look at this. You get some goodies.
So there's a little story where like SpongeBob and Patrick like meet like a genie who gives him a bottle, and then he uses to blow bubbles. That's magic, and then there's this multiverse thing. It's a whatever cartoon story, but what's impressive is that one, it looks really good and runs pretty good on the Switch, barring a little bit of hitching. Two, they have most of the original voice actors, like I think, because it sounds like Tom Kenny, it sounds like Clancy Brown, it sounds like all those guys, which I was like very impressed by. In addition to that, like, it is a really good platformer so far. Like, it seems like it's like it'll send you to different areas. The first area was like a Wild West thing that like takes you like an hour and change. The second one takes place in like a Hollywood type level, and it's like the kind of game that they don't make that much anymore outside of like, let's say, your Yooka-Laylees or your Hat in Times. So it's actually, Perry, I think you would really like this game if in like a year and a half you got it on like eShop discount for $11.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the kind of game I think you in particular would enjoy.
I just don't really care about SpongeBob. I'm sure I would.
I know. I you're not going to buy it, but...
No, but I appreciate it.
That could be a punishment for him one year.
But it's okay. I mean... We all know we're not getting to Undertale until like May anyways, so
Dirty Mage Undertale.
Okay.
Two birds, one foot.
Okay, so that's Bob L'Éponge, Le Shake Cosmique.
Do you have any crazy, completely different games that you've been playing that you can just go right into?
Dead Space, the Dead Space remake. Okay. On PlayStation 5. I only played like an hour of it. I've never played Dead Space before, and the reviews for it were really good, the remake, so I wanted to get into it. It's like a Resident Evil 4 style survival horror game, but it takes place in space.
I remember RFN talking about this. I've never seen Dead Space ever. Isn't that funny? I've heard of it, obviously.
It's
I know
cool.
all about it. And I've heard it's awesome. And I remember like Johnny Metz talking about it and saying it's literally Resident Evil like in space.
Yeah,
that's
and
all
totally
I remember
cool guns.
Yep. So the way the guns work is they're the aliens, you don't really kill them very easily from headshots. It's from dismembering them, from like cutting off their arms and legs. So the first gun you have is like a staple type gun, where it's like you can choose whether you want it to be a horizontal or a vertical line, and you aim that at the alien's limbs, and if you hit its legs, then it falls to the ground and you can sort of stomp on its head. The arms sort of prevent it from attacking. And it's like, it's very visceral and violent, and it is like Resident Evil, where you're sort of doing so, like the modern Resident Evils, where you're doing some light puzzles, you're getting spooked from time to time, and some enemies sort of wander at you, and you can pay like a little bit of attention to the story and you're fine. So I've only played an hour, but it seems like it's good. It seems like it's and it runs
it's a look
great.
Right, bit, right? Yeah.
It looks excellent. I'm only doing the 60 frames per second performance mode, which I think is like 1440p. But it's because it's like so highly detailed that they're not going to give you variable 4K on that.
Yeah, and it probably, you know, unless if you're a super crazy person, you probably can't tell the difference.
But what a strange world where one of the main creators of the original Dead Space put out Callisto Protocol. People didn't really like it. And now a remake published by EA in 2023 seems really, really good. So that's such a weird little thing.
It is weird.
Yeah, I remember I was sort of excited for that Protocol game, but from all accounts, it seems very mediocre at best.
That's like a $30 for me, I think. I think when it hits like 20 or 30, that's when I'll jump. Because it seems like it's okay, but like also like early launch game, 7 hours, not much there.
Yeah, type and deal too. You could just play like a classic Dead Space that you know is going to be good.
Yeah, or the new Dead Space, which is the game you want. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are the games I've been playing. Perry, you've been playing a little bit of Elden Ring, right?
No.
Elden Perry.
Casey Perry. Casey, Elden Ring.
Same thing.
I thought he was trolling intentionally there, but maybe you weren't. I don't know. Yep, yeah, so...
No, I'm just dumb. Sorry. I barely pay attention to this podcast, even when I'm talking.
Yep, yeah. You find yourself in the middle of the sentence and you don't even know what it's about. You're like, but
I have to choose either you guys or my Twitter feed, and we all know what I'm choosing.
Okay, got to make sure those statistics are looking good on your tweets.
Yeah.
So Elden Ring, I finished up Demon's Souls, and I was still in the I can have more of this, good sir, please. So I went and got Elden Ring. And I've played, I think, just shy of 10 hours, so not like a ton, especially since this is sort of a game, from what I understand, is many, many hours. But I think the game looks awesome. I wish I'd switched characters. So I did a hero instead of the Vagabond or something, right? Vagabond.
Yeah.
So I really liked the Halbrid in Demon's Soul, so that's what I sort of wanted to mess with going into this game. And I saw like one started with one, but then like the hero started with more strength, and I was like, you know what, I could just get one in game, you know what I mean? And there was, I know, like the Tree Sentinel has one, so I killed him, but then I didn't realize like, oh, you have to be like level 50 to use this thing, like by the time you've dulled out enough, you know, stats to your strength and dexterity and all that stuff. But but that aside, so I'm working towards that. But that aside, it's definitely really beautiful game, right? Super cool to just be able to go to different areas and sort of get lost. Not quite the Breath of the Wild where like, hey, I want to go here and I end up on the other side of the world because of all the different little things you interact with. But it definitely has that, like if you're going in a certain area, you could definitely, oh, there's actually a cave over here. Maybe I'll go explore that instead. I guess what's a little weird, like, so with Demon's Souls, right, it's pretty linear, and like, hey, if you're going up to a boss, I mean, I guess I never had to grind really in that game, so it's felt like the tuning for all the bosses felt pretty tight, you know, where here, the first boss just absolutely was kicking my butt big time, and I'm like, oh my god, this guy's brutal. So I went online and I was like, am I even like the right level? You know, like maybe I'm just severely under level for this. And I was a few levels under, but they're like, yeah, definitely don't go in there without upgrading your weapon. At least, you know, once or twice. So the game sort of pushes you right when you go into the different graces, which are sort of like your save spots, little like checkpoints, if you will. They like push you in the direction you should be going. So you could, you know, be free to go explore, but also like if you like get lost or whatever, it's like, hey, go over here. So they sort of push you in that direction and just got my butt handed to me. So then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and just like, I'll come back to this whenever and I'll just go explore what, you know, but I feel like the game pushes you in that direction. So it's a little like, you know, where in Demon's Souls, like I said, I felt like if you got to a boss, you know, you could probably kill it with some persistence. Where here I felt like, okay, I definitely need to go level up a bit more and get some more crafting materials. But you know, I did kill that boss. Now I'm up to, I guess, like there's some optional bosses you can kill along the way, but I guess this is probably the second big boss that I've really run into. And he was sort of whipping me up too. So I think I'm in that same sort of territory where like, oh, maybe I should go explore a little bit more and then double back down. But essentially, right, yeah, I'm trying to play this game sort of, like I said, not where I'm trying to rush and beat it, but just play it to enjoy it. And yeah, it looks wonderful. And everywhere you go, there's definitely stuff to do. So it's definitely a big, robust world. But yeah, it's been fun.
Elden Ring is the game that actually got me back into Souls games, because I had beat Dark Souls 3 and then I bounced off a bunch of them forever.
I remember, like we said on the podcast, Alex, we're like, you said something that's like you know, Dark Souls games are Souls games are awesome, but like I don't ever really want to play another one again. Like you said that,
right? Yep. And then I got Elden Ring because it got like reviews. I was like, this is one of the best games ever. Like all those. I mean, Casey, I got the same FOMO you do. Like that's why I make fun of you, is because I know exactly the type of person you are, because it's me.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to fall into the temptations.
Yes, sir. So, Elden Ring is brilliant because I think it is a very difficult game. However, because you are encouraged to do whatever you want and go somewhere else at all times, it creates a style of play where in the Dark Souls games, if you can't beat a boss and it seems insurmountable and you're not in the mood to grind out levels until you're able to beat it, that just might be the end of your playtime with Dark Souls. But in Elden Ring, if you get your butt kicked by a boss, you can go somewhere else and do hours and hours and hours, dozens of hours of bespoke content elsewhere on the map, grind up your guy and have different great experiences, and then come back when you're ready, so that even though it's difficult, the ramp to overcome that difficulty feels way more gentle because you're never bottlenecked into one specific thing you have to beat at any given time. And I think in addition to like how much stuff there is to do on the map, I think that's one of the most brilliant things in Elden Ring. And I know you're kind of early, but I think over the course of play, I think that's my guess is that's one of the things you'll probably come away with as well.
Yeah, I just got to sort of get my head around like, hey, you could just come back to this later, you know? Because I get sort of stubborn where I'm like, no, well, I want to beat this guy, you know?
But explore, kill a random enemy. And then one of my favorite things to do is when I would play the game, explore, and then randomly end up on a place on the map I'm not supposed to get to yet. Because what that means is even if the enemies are gonna kill you, you can pick up items from that area, including those soul items that might give you like 20,000 souls
so you can beef up.
So that's one of the big benefits, I would say, is get lost, go places you're not supposed to, and I think you're gonna gain a lot from doing that. Is something that's one tip I'll give you if you get stuck, is that there are a lot of benefits to just going somewhere searching. Else
yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I think that's,
are you liking it, Case?
Yeah for sure. Like I said, I think, I mean, just naturally, right, with the open world, I'm more comfortable and enjoy the linear experience, but yeah, no, it, like I said, it's definitely one of those like you know, you could just find yourself sort of wandering a different direction, and then it's like, oh, okay, like we got stuff to do. But yeah, I want my halberd, but we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, it's beautiful, man. The world is so cool looking, and I tell you what, the music is like, I feel like way more pronounced than in Demon's Souls, where like the overworld map music, or you know, just when you're exploring, it's got just like a bit of uneasiness to it. It's, but like also it's soothing, you know. It's weird. But I've noticed, yeah, during the bosses, like the music kicks up pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to hearing more of the music as I go too.
Word.
Happy day.
Yeah, man.
All right. Sweet. Well, I say we get into some poll time.
Poll time.
Let me see that poll.
Poll results time.
This week's poll time is about Fire Emblem Engage, and it asks the question, how are you enjoying Fire Emblem Engage so far? And the options are, one, you like/love it, which I hate that I have to do that because you can only do four options on polls. So it's like, which two do I have to
pair
which
together? You combine.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second option is it's decent. The third option is not liking it. And the fourth option is don't have it. Now, there's 91 votes, which you would think is a good sample size, except 59.3% of those are under don't have it.
Yeah.
Which makes me regret how I structured this poll.
You could have broken those first two up.
Which is what I always do with these. But I was like, no, we need to protect the data because the people who don't have it and want to see what the results are just going to randomly hit one of them, which is going to mess with the data.
There should be a view results button.
There should be, and there could be, but I don't know if there is, and I'm guessing
maybe
there might not
come
be.
Through in the clutch for us.
Daddy fraud. don't have it was 60% of the vote. Not liking it was the lowest with 2.2%. It's decent was at 11%. And like/love it is 27.5%. So the way I would probably say is like/love it is probably about 60%. It's decent is probably about 25%. And then not liking it is probably about 5-7%, I would guess.
Yeah, and I wasn't playing it when this poll went up or I didn't see it. But I would say I would be in the I'm liking it camp.
I would be under like also if I did a better job of structuring
it. It's not, like I said, I'm not loving it, but I'm still really enjoying it, and but I'm still early on too, so I'm going to see how it evolves. But sure. But yeah, it seems like definitely not as much hype around this releasing than I feel like
for
any
sure.
Fire Emblem in quite some time.
Mm-mm.
It's weird, right? It's such a different. I mean, how
it's
weird
better.
Is it that we've seen, you know, like that now? It's like it's a huge franchise.
One of the biggest, like if we're ranking like Nintendo franchises by size, you end up with like what? Mario, Pokemon, Zelda, Splatoon, Animal Crossing, Smash Bros,
like bigger
Kirby's
than all of them.
Probably up there.
Well, but Pokemon's also the biggest media franchise. It's complicated, but let's say Mario, Smash Bros, and then I'm guessing either
ARMS
just under Kirby or just over Kirby, you end up with Fire Emblem, which
Kirby's
is still
not
a
that big of a seller.
Okay, so then probably Fire Emblem right after, let's say, Splatoon, right?
It's crazy,
Or maybe even above it. I'm guessing right under it because Splatoon's really big. But that's still like when you get away from all of the obvious ones, Fire Emblem's right on top, which is such a change from like those GBA games are like
I know
what's
the GBA
called?
Games are so good too.
Shadow Dragon
yeah.
and all of those were great games, and in fact I would say some of the best experiences I had were with those specific Fire Emblems. But it's interesting that Awakening, which I believe was supposed to have like there was a chance it was going to be the last Fire Emblem game
call,
and then that just
blew up.
Was the biggest upset of the century. So
I think
which
being
is
able
really
to like, oh, these two had a baby, and now I can fight with the baby because it's a man, and say, oh, okay, cool.
That was weird. Yeah.
But we're gonna have a kid and just send him to this dimension where they age exponentially fast, and I never see him their whole life. But then they'll come fight with me on the battlefield. You know,
that one was weird. But I think the weirder one was Fates, which so there was Conquest and there was the red one, and like Conquest was the more hardcore one, and then the red one, whatever it was called, was the more like casual
Birthright.
Awakening. Birthright. Was the more casual, friendly type one. But if I remember right, you were Robin, and it was like your family, but I believe the marriage mechanic also worked on
kids.
The people in your family, which was so weird. I think this is true. But I remember Fates just being a very strange game altogether. So there you go.
Yeah,
it's
I never
really
upset.
You never played it? Nope. It's okay. I would say it's maybe the worst of the post Awakenings, I would say.
Fates?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the worst is
That's what broke Casey.
I played Birthright and Conquest back to back. So that was
a
lot of fun.
And the DLC.
Well, then I think I waited like a week or I thought there was some time in between, but yeah, I played all three of those in a real quick succession. And I remember, I think that was when I was like, I've had too much fire.
I ate too much.
Just eating cake frosting for like hours.
Overdosed on the Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How was that? That third, I think I've only played the two main ones, but I own the DLC for the third route. Is that one worth going back to?
I couldn't even tell you.
Okay.
I feel like all of them, they all blended
into about
one
it on the podcast,
big
which is funny.
Blob, you know? Yeah, I could probably go back and listen to my words.
But no, I totally agree with you because I've probably said this like five times now, but like I've played 270 hours or whatever of Three Houses. I barely remember the story. And in fact, I would argue I'm closer to not remembering the story even though it came out in 2019. It's just these games are weird like that.
I don't remember story from anything. So that's just me.
I'm just old now.
I don't even know the story from Xenoblade 2 and 3 that I just played last. So I never care about story.
I'm the same way. It's not that I care. I just think I have like whatever parts of my memory are good, it is not the parts of my memory that allow me to remember media.
The good thing is though that
like
there are people who like remember every little like twist and turn. After X amount of years, I can go back and play a game and like I'll remember the broad strokes, you know, like the big events maybe. But yeah, all the minutia in between, it's nice to just be like, yep, that's pretty much brand new again.
Yeah, right. which is good. It's like good in a sad way.
yeah. At least my memory sucks.
All right. I think that's a full show. Hopefully
that's a full show.
Yeah. If you pad it out with the music, we'll be right around an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna play our intro twice in a row to get us to 61 minutes.
Okay.
Well, no, you can just replay the outro a few times.
Oh yeah, that's
then
what I mean. That's what I mean.
They trick them until they listen to the very end. They didn't even know they got duped.
Remember we put like an extra hour on one of the episodes?
Yeah, Lemonade's like, good lord, 2 hours? Ooh-wee! And it's just an hour of our music.
As a stinger, I'm just going to put an episode of Nintendo News Report on the
As event. A stinger, you could put in Propaniacs episode 2.
I have to record Propaniacs episode 2 because it's clear no one else is.
It's recorded.
Posted
it's recorded.
As of like 4 minutes ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did it?
Five Bagger in the chat goes, Propaniac episode 2 won't be out by the time this airs. And then out of spite, I guess, Josh, he posted it.
That's amazing.
Do you guys have a feed?
Where?
It's in the movies and TV section.
Where did he...
He's on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Love it.
Good for him.
That's amazing.
I can't wait for episode 3.
Hold on, he posted a video. He should watch the video. He posted the video when Hank's blind and they're all laughing at him. And he goes, "The joke's on you, funny man." And that's a perfect response, Josh. Well, well done. That's so funny. Well, there you go.
There
Propane
it is.
Maniacs. There you go. See?
There you go. Propane Maniacs, episode 2. Patreon.com/3unpreparedmen. That's 3 unprepared.
And you guys are going back on 3. You're doing that now, right?
So we recorded 3 episodes, which actually puts us in a very Propaniacs-esque situation, is we're just sitting on 3 episodes right now because we want to record more, and we're trying to set up an infrastructure to do live recordings on Twitch every week.
Because it's probably getting expensive having someone test you before you go in, right?
I guess.
I want to make sure it's COVID compliant.
I'm hanging out with the guys next weekend, next Monday, and I'm like, should we record a podcast? And they're like, no, let's watch wrestling instead. So that's what we're doing instead of the podcast. Yeah, why not? It's cool.
Do you watch wrestling?
No, but I'm trying to.
Back and watching.
You're trying
clips.
To watch wrestling?
Dude, wrestling is low-key amazing. It's so good.
I want to pick it up as a hobby.
Do you watch wrestling, Case?
I used to back in the day.
Well, yeah, I mean,
so I don't.
We all used to.
I don't watch it now, but I would be lying if in the past 3 weeks I haven't watched random episodes or clips on YouTube. Like one night I was sort of tired and I was just like sitting on the couch and I put on it was like the Royal Rumble from like 1998 or something. And I just watched the Rumble.
I think I'm gonna get Peacock this weekend just to watch like WrestleMania and like that because it's the WWE stuff. Actually, here's what I'm gonna ask listeners, especially those in our Discord, which you can find access to the Discord on NintendoWorldReport.com. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/NWR. And you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/TalkNintendoPod. That's twitter.com/TalkNintendo.
P-O-D. Huh? You can go Twitter. There and find us there. All right.
Talk Nintendo Pod. Anyways, if you're in our Discord and you watch wrestling, or if you're on Twitter, so reply to that, let me know which specific wrestling events I should watch. Ooh. It can be New Japan. It could be WWE. Just give me some thoughts. Because what I've heard is I talked to one of the guys behind WrestleQuest, which is like an upcoming Mario and Luigi style JRPG that's all about wrestling. He told me WrestleMania 1 is the best one if you're going to watch one first thing. The original WrestleMania is a great place to start. So I'm open to suggestions.
I tell you what you got to find is I believe it is 1998 Hell in a Cell Undertaker versus Mankind. It's honestly ridiculous. You might not be able to find the full match, but there's I think like a 15 to 20 minute video. I'll see if I can find it afterwards that pretty much interviews the two of them about the match. It's like one of the most like ridiculous fights of all time. It just shows you like, oh my God, the WWF, or WWE now, they used to be absolutely insane. But I'll see if I can find that for you.
It'd be about 30 minutes long, the fight, right?
Probably. I'll
see. Cause there's, okay. Okay.
You can send me the link afterwards and I'll tell you if that's it. But yes.
All right. Sounds good. All right. That's our show. Have a good night.
Business. Yes.
All right. No, we need 13 more seconds before we reach an hour. So. We'll be right back.
Prepare les enfants!
This is a certified Balix classic.
Capitaine!
J'ai pas entendu!
Oui, capitaine!
Whoa! Qui vit dans un ananas dans la mer? Qui compte bien y faire carrière? Si vous avez un souhait, qu'il faut-il appeler? Qui n'a pas peur des gros méchants poissons?
Bobby Bosch Carré, Bobby Bosch Carré, Bobby Bosch Carré.